Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your word. Your word that shares with us your wisdom, your will for our lives. Your word that tells us literally what the truth is. And we pray that we might not only hear and understand it, but that we might know it for the truth that it is, and have the courage and the will to follow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Some years ago, I came across the following story. The notorious ne'er-do-well went to his reward and was terrified about what awaited him. He had spent his years carrying on in saloons and chasing women, and now he was worried about paying the price. But when he got to the pearly gates, he was welcomed with open arms. "Are you sure you didn't make a mistake?" he asked St. Peter. "No, sir," replied the saint. "There were never any records kept, and you are just as welcome as anyone." And the man then noticed a large group standing together in a corner. And every few minutes they'd start to cry and then kick the posterior of whoever was closest to them. "What's wrong with those guys who are crying and kicking themselves?" the new arrival asked. "Oh, them," replied St. Peter. "They also thought we kept records." There are so many stories or jokes about people trying to get into heaven, having to pass tests in order to pass through the pearly gates. And while today's passage from the Gospel of John is not about the afterlife, it is about this life and the boundaries and the gates that we have in this life. Now, I never really thought about gates in terms of etiquette, how we deal with gates in our lives, what's the proper way. But I found out, preparing for this sermon, that there is a certain etiquette to gates. Christopher Burkett, in a blog on our John Passage Today entitled Finding the Gate, talks about this etiquette. He says, "There is a very strict etiquette to gates, a rule book that you must follow, because not to do so may cost dearly or lead to death or destroy a family's livelihood. This I know because as a child, brought up in a very rural community, but near a fast railroad track, I was often shouted at if I didn't follow the rules. Some, of course, are very obvious, like shut the gate after you. It's okay to open the gate to let yourself through, but you must make sure it's closed and fastened just the way you found it, once you're on the other side. Others, though, aren't so obvious. If the gate is held open, under no circumstances must you shut it. You might not realize it, but the herd's access to water is through that open gateway. And if you close it, disaster may follow. Where I live, that could mean animals forcing themselves through hedges or fences onto the railway line in their search for water, with consequences too horrible to dwell on. He said also rules apply to climbing over the gate rather than opening it. Always climb near the hinges so that your weight doesn't put a levered strain on those very hinges and potentially bend or break them. gay etiquette. Not many of us think about that. But as we hear him, we understand why it is so. And gates serve a purpose to keep things out or in. In our passage from John today, we hear Jesus talking about gated enclosures and those who refuse to enter through the gate. Notice, however, he does not say that at one point he does not say he is the gatekeeper standing there to open or close the gate, but he is the gate itself. And it reminds us that in the time of Jesus, many sheepfold enclosures had just an opening. And the shepherd would lay or sit down in that opening to keep the sheep, the cattle in the enclosure, or to keep other animals out of the enclosure. And also to keep those who would steal the sheep or the cattle out. Jesus is literally the gate. He's not there knocking at the gate, waiting for us to enter, but waiting for us to allow him to enter. We talked about that last week. But we have to enter through Jesus, through the gate. To enter another way was to believe that you have all the answers, was to steal, that Christ was not the way, but you were. And I think another way to think about the sheepfold, the enclosure, is to think of it as being the kingdom. And if we think of it that way, we begin to understand Jesus' word that the kingdom has come near, which is said in all of the Gospels, but especially in Luke 10, in Matthew 10, and Mark 1, and other spots as well. Jesus is the kingdom, or the entrance to the kingdom of God. And what Jesus is telling us is that we have to make the effort to walk into the kingdom through Christ. Now again, Jesus is not talking about heaven and hell, but just about how we find our way into the fold of God. Jesus said in our passage today from John, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And another way, I think, to think of it is what we read just a few chapters later in John chapter 14, verses 4 to 7, or 4 to 6. "And you know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, 'Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?' And Jesus said to him, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'" Now, I don't believe this means that we have to believe Jesus. But I think rather what Jesus is saying, believe the way I've lived my life. The way I've lived my life is the way. And this is gate talk. Follow my example. Try to live your life like I have lived mine, and you will experience abundant life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The gate. You know, back in the 1990s, we saw the advent of the WWJD bracelets. What would Jesus do? And I will admit that when they first came out, I thought that was pretty hokey. But as over time, it has grown on me, and I see it as a very important question that we need to ask ourselves. What would Jesus do through Jesus the gate to the situations that we find ourselves in. And this came to me this week as I watched the news or read the news. Would Jesus be assailing the halls of state governments with an assault rifle slung over his chest, talking of his freedom to go where he wanted, when he wanted, and how he wanted? That's the question behind the protest against statewide lockdowns. And Jesus is very clear about how we are to serve others, to care for others. Jesus summed it all up when he said, when we can find the gate, in the commandments, excuse me, Jesus summed it all up in the commandments of the Jewish Torah. There were 600 and some laws in the Jewish Torah. Jesus summed it all up in two. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You may find that in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40. Now, Jesus didn't say, love yourself more than others or less than others, but as much as you love yourself. The gospel of Christ is not a gospel of entitlement, but one of equality. When people protest carrying assault rifles and don't wear any personal protection mask or gloves, they're putting themselves above others. They're raising their needs above others. Or they're actually not putting their needs very high at all because they're not loving themselves. Because in doing what they're doing, they could just as easily catch the virus from somebody else and become a statistic themselves. Recently, I saw a wonderful description of freedom and rights. A person has the freedom to swing their arms around them, but it ends where it hits someone else. In our passage today from John, we are reminded we can find the gate, the opening. And when we find it, then we can pass through to the kingdom. And we find it by following what Jesus said and what Jesus did. Does it mean that life will be easier and more prosperous, or that we'll have all the freedoms that we want to have? A life without trials? No. But you know what? It didn't mean that for Jesus either. But what it does mean is that life will have a sense of security and peace about it. Because we know that no matter what happens, we are in God's fold. We will be taken care of. We are the sheep of the shepherd. It means that we can stay in our homes and be safe, not only for ourselves, but by doing so, we serve others by keeping them safe in case we have the virus and don't know it. Boundaries. Gates are important, but we always need to ask ourselves, what are we keeping in, or what are we keeping out? My opening story is about heaven not keeping records. We don't know if heaven keeps records. My take is that Jesus doesn't believe that records are being kept. But if we want to have a sense of peace, of hope, and abundance in our life, then we need to find that gate, that opening. We need to find Christ and emulate the life of Christ. And by doing so, we walk through the gate. So my brothers and sisters, let us become connected with the living gate, the living Christ. Amen.